Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining in this third of a three-part series in Limud HaTorah about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Today, what we're going to be discussing, and by the way, if I'm not coming through clearly, let me know on the chat, and then I'll just call in by telephone, maybe it'll be better. But if I'm coming through clearly, we'll do it this way. Better to learn Torah or Torah out loud versus Behirhur alone, versus only in thought, versus only in Hirhur. So the very concept of Hirhur counting as something, as when a person thinks, having that be considered something halachically significant, is a sugya in Maseches Brachos on Daf Chaf. You know, one of the things that people most miss, that the Bnei HaYeshiva, certainly in talking to all of our Talmidim who are not around Yeshiva now, one of the things that they most miss is what they keep on referring to as the Kol Torah, that yes, they're able to learn at home. Yes, they're able even sometimes to find a quiet corner in their home where they're able to learn Torah, but they don't have the Kol Torah of a Beis Medrash. So is there value to that? Meaning, why does there have to be a Kol Torah? Why wouldn't it be good enough to just have people learning and learning quietly or listening to shiurim? Why do maybe everyone could be muted and just listen to shiurim? Is there any value in having audible Torah as opposed to just hearing Torah and thinking about Torah? So this is a sugya Maseches Brachos on Daf Chaf. Not exactly a sugya Maseches Brachos, but over there the Gemara talks about whether a Bal Keri can be someone who's tameh and therefore is not permitted to say Dvarim Shebekdusha is allowed to be Harher Kriyashma. Is he allowed? He's not allowed to say Kriyashma, but can he at least think Kriyashma? So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. Why he would be Maharher. The Ravina says, Zosomeris here, Kizibur Dami, that it's worthwhile for him to be Maharher Kriyashma, because if he can't say it, but he could still be Yotze the Mitzvah by thinking Kriyashma, since that is the equivalent of saying the words, that even Hirur counts as saying the words. Whereas Rav Chista Amar, Hirur Lav Kizibur Dami, that just thinking the Torah, thinking Kriyashma, is not the same as saying Kriyashma. The only reason we would tell the fellow to be Maharher is that it would seem entirely inappropriate if everybody else around him is saying Kriyashma and he's not connecting in any which way to the Kriyashma. That would be entirely inappropriate. So that's why we have him be Maharer, so at least he's mentally connecting, but it's not that there's any sort of actual fulfillment of Kriyashma when a person is only thinking the words. The Gemara works very hard to defend that second Shita of Rav Chista, and therefore most Rishonim assume, at least when it comes to Kriyashma, that Hirur Lav Kedibur Dami, that when one thinks, it's not the same as speaking from a halachic point of view, that when there is a requirement to speak, one must speak and one must not think. That does not necessarily, not just think alone. Obviously, you have to think also. But that does not necessarily tell us what the halacha would be when it comes to Talmud Torah, when it comes to learning Torah. Like, Kriyashma might have its own rules, its own gedarim. There may be a din that you have to say Kriyashma. There may not be a din that you have to say Divrei Torah. Just say you have to learn Torah. So what's called learning Torah? Another example, before we bring it back to Talmud Torah, Shabbos Taf Kuf Nun. The Gemara says that the way one speaks on Shabbos should not be the way one speaks during the weekday. And the Gemara says, Nimtso Cheftcha V'daber Daber, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Nunches, that a person should refrain from his normal manner of speech on Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us, from there we see, Hirur is mutter, because it only says that Daber Daber, that you're not allowed to have Dibur Shal Shabbos, Kedibur Shal Chol, that the way one speaks on Shabbos should not be the same way one speaks during the week. But the implication is, that if it's only thought and it's not speech, then that's going to be mutter. So that is another indication that Hirur and Dibur are not at all the same as each other. What about when it comes to Talmud Torah? What if I wake up early in the morning and I want to put something on YU Torah and just listen? I'm only going to be thinking of Torah. I'm not saying anything. I'm listening to the shiurim that my rebbeim say and have been uploaded to YU Torah. So is it a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah? For sure, right? It would seem that it's got to be a mitzvah of Talmud Torah when a person learns by thinking and learning, by, you know, that's what Tova Lichtenstein said about her husband. She said, you know, she said about Rav Soloveitchik that growing up in his house, she said he kept a pretty normal schedule. You know, you hear stories about people who slept an hour and a half a night or only napped on their shtender or something like that. She said he wasn't like that. He went to sleep when it was time to go to sleep. He woke up when it was time to wake up, but he was always thinking and learning, meaning wherever he was, whenever there was downtime, whenever there wasn't something else, his mind was always racing in learning. And that's certainly a kiyum of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, for a person to be thinking and learning. I would argue that often could be the greatest defining line between great Talmidei Chachamim and those who are on the next tier, meaning those who learn when they're learning, but when they're not learning, very often have a hard time feeling fully connected, fully attuned to the Torah. But to create what Rav Soloveitchik referred to as Nisuin with the Torah in his famous hesped for his uncle, the Brisker Rav, to create that sense of total identity with the Torah, so a person who's always thinking and learning has this sense of total identity with the Torah. So certainly it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it would seem, but yet the halacha is that one does not recite a birchas haTorah if they're only going to be thinking and learning. Shulchan Aruch paskens in Simen Mem Zayin Si'if Dalet in Aruch Chayim. Hamaharer b'divrei Torah ein tzarich levarich. If a person thinks and learning, he does not need to recite birchas haTorah before thinking and learning. The implication of that, the way the Achronim understand it, is that maybe it's not even a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because why wouldn't you have to say a bracha if you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So the Bir Agra, the Vilna Gaon, disagrees. He says, how could it be that you don't have to say a bracha on hearing the Divrei Torah? The Kan Mevarech al mitzvah v'chilak a mitzvah v'hirur? Do you think there's no mitzvah when you're thinking in Torah? Of course there is. V'lo nemar v'higisabo. What does the pasuk say when it tells me that I should be engaged in Torah? V'higisabo. V'higis means higayon, with thought, with contemplation. It doesn't mean v'dibar. There's also in Yanam of Dibor when it comes to Pesukim that relate to Dibor. But v'higisabo tells me that even believe you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So why would the Shulchan Aruch think that there's no bracha? Does the Shulchan Aruch really think that there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah when a person thinks and learning? So it's probable that the Mechaber agrees that it is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But not every time you do a mitzvah do you recite a bracha on that mitzvah. Sometimes, you know, for example, right now, hopefully everyone here, how many people we have here? We have 78 people in our Zoom room. So let's say all 78 of us right now are fulfilling a great mitzvah of not only hopefully learning Torah, but believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So did any of us say a bracha this morning on Emunah v'Hashem? We don't say a bracha on Emunah v'Hashem. Why is there no bracha on Emunah v'Hashem? Isn't that a mitzvah? Almost all of the Monei mitzvahs counted as a mitzvah. Okay, some don't count it as a mitzvah, but not because they don't believe in it, but because it's too basic, too fundamental to count as a mitzvah, meaning it's the basis of all mitzvahs. There's no such thing as a mitzvah if there's no mitzvah. There's no command if there's no commander. So it could very well be. That's why it wouldn't be counted as a mitzvah. But many, many do count it as a mitzvah. How come there's no bracha on the mitzvah of Emunah b'Hashem? So the simple explanation is that any time you have a mitzvah that is not fulfilled with a clear and concrete action, then there's no bracha on such a mitzvah. Only when one does a clear and concrete action, the way Rav Schachter says it in Eretz HaTzvi, in the beginning of Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, I think Simon Gimel, is that when a person recites a bracha, the bracha is not on the kiyuma mitzvah, the bracha is on the maisa mitzvah. You make a bracha before you do an action that is a mitzvah. The raya, one of the rayas is from Sfiras HaOmer, right? There's a machlokas rishonu, but the Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah, or 49 separate mitzvahs. Well, why don't we bring a very clear raya that it's got to be 49 separate mitzvahs? Because we say a different bracha each and every day. So isn't that clearly an indicator that it's separate mitzvahs? Checkmate. Anyone who wants to say it's one mitzvah, how are you going to make 49 brachas in one mitzvah? And the answer probably is that it may be one kiyuma mitzvah, but each and every day is a separate maisa mitzvah. And the bracha is always done on a maisa. So here, b'divrei Torah may very well be, the Pashto says, may very well be a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah, for sure. But what it's not is a maisa mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because you're not doing anything. It's happening passively. There's no clear and concrete action. similar to when you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, when you're inside the sukkah, right? Anytime you walk into the sukkah on sukkahs, obviously, one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Yeshiva b'sukkah, contrary to popular belief, does not mean sitting in the sukkah. There is no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah, to dwell in the sukkah. But sukkah's teshuva does not mean in sukkahs, in huts you shall sit. It means in huts you shall live, you shall dwell. So why is it that we recite the bracha of Leishim B'Sukkah right when we sit down to eat? Or according to the Rambam, when you say Kiddush the first night in the Sukkah, you should say the Kiddush standing up. That's the one and only Kiddush the Rambam says you should say standing up, so that right after you say Leishim B'Sukkah, you'll then sit down and then you'll drink. Leishim B'Sukkah doesn't mean sitting down. It means dwelling in the Sukkah. So if the key, and you're already doing that mitzvah, you're inside the sukkah already. So why is it that that the bracha would be right before you sit down? So Shachter explains. Again, the idea is that the bracha is not about the kiyuma mitzvah. The bracha is about a concrete maisa. So sitting down is a concrete maisa of setting yourself, establishing yourself in the sukkah. And therefore, one recites a bracha before sitting down in the sukkah. And that really explains a lot of things. The Taz has a question about kosev b'divrei Torah. What if you wake up early and before your daf yomi shir, you decide you want to write. You want to write up a shtickel Torah. So the Taz wonders why the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a kosev b'divrei Torah, avu b'sheno korei tzarech levarech. That if you're writing divrei Torah, but you're not saying a word, you're absolutely quiet. Everyone in the house is sleeping. It's 4:30 in the morning. You don't want to wake anybody up. You're just writing your Chidush Torah, not saying a single word. Shulchan Aruch says, you say a bracha on that. The same Shulchan Aruch who told us not to say a bracha on Hirur B'Divrei Torah. Why is Kosev any different than Hirur B'Divrei Torah? Either way, you're not speaking. So the answer to the Taz's Kasha might be that it's the problem, the Chisaron in Hirur B'Divrei Torah is not that it's a lack of Talmud Torah. Of course you're doing Talmud Torah. The problem with Hirur B'Divrei Torah, or the lacking in Hirur B'Divrei Torah, is the lack of a concrete Maisa. Oh, but when you are Kosev B'Divrei Torah, that is a very concrete Maisa. Writing is a very clear and concrete action, and therefore it could be a Kiyum Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, there is a broader discussion in Poskim whether Ksiva K'dibur Dami or not. Is writing the same as speaking in all areas of Halacha? It's fascinating. There is no sugya in Shas, whether Ksiva is K'dibur. Here or K'dibur? Yes, we pointed out Gemara Brachos Tavchav. We have no sugya in Shas, whether Kosev is like Dibur. That is an invention of the Achronim, the discussion about whether Ksiva is K'dibur. And the answer is, it really depends on which mitzvah we're talking about. It really depends on the context that we're talking about. For example, Kosev B'Divrei Torah, of course, it's a Kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You even say a Birchas HaMitzvah on it. What if a person is Kosev Sfiras HaOmer? Right, so there's a person in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So where does that first come up? In the Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes a tshuva that he was sitting at a chasna and they were discussing this matter around the rabbi's table at the chasna, whether ksiva is kedibur as far as Sfiras HaOmer. There's even a passage in Rishonim in the Rash Mishans where he suggests that when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, so the person who took the neder and has charata has to present his case to the Beis Din. What if he puts it in writing? Is that good enough? Does he have to go in front of the Beis Din and verbally state his case, or is putting it in writing good enough? Rash Mishan says writing is good enough. So it depends. Really depends on the situation. When kosev is like, if you're kosev Kriya Shema instead of saying Kriya Shema, for sure not okay, right? That's it. If your old hero is not good enough, kosev Kriya Shema is not good enough either. It really depends on the particular mitzvah. If you're kosev Kiddush on Shabbos, well, then you got bigger problems because you shouldn't be writing on Shabbos. Then it's even if it were a mitzvah, it would be a mitzvah baba vera. So by ksiva, it's a fascinating discussion. But this idea that you need a concrete maisa might also explain some other things. The Ran in Masech Savod Zara and that Mem Dalaram Beis says that you don't have to say a bracha before you paskin a halacha unless you explain the logic of your psak. So clearly, you're thinking about the sugya in order to answer the shaila when someone asks you a question. So you're thinking about the Torah. It may not come out of your mouth. All that may come out of your mouth is mutter, aser. An avel, for example, if he's relied on by the community to paskin, is allowed to paskin a halacha. That's aside from the halacha that Rav Tzrichim ben Rabim, that if a lot of people need him, if the community needs him, he may even be allowed to say actual shiurim. I remember not that long ago, at the whole beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, I reached out to Rabbi Yismach, one of the outstanding rabbeim in our yeshiva from Great Neck, because he was sitting shiva. And I said, you know, but we couldn't visit, obviously. So I tried to call, and then I left him a voicemail because I couldn't get through. And I said, I'm sure you're busy with calls constantly. Just want to offer divrei nechama. And he responded back that he was actually saying shir at the time. He was saying shir. Well, he was sitting shiva. He said, Rabbi Tzrichim lo, that the talmidim needed some structure. They needed someone. They needed someone to say shir. So that's he was dedicated, and he decided that that's what he was. That's what he was going to do. Unbelievable. But the Ran Avodah Zarah, it says that if you're going to just say mutar or asr, even though you're having all those thoughts of the whole sugya, you would not recite a Birchas HaTorah on that. Again, for the same reason, that there's no actual maisa that you're doing of Talmud Torah. If you explain the psak, then there is a maisa of Talmud Torah. This might also explain the discussion about Hirhu B'divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av, or during Avelus for that matter. The Gemara in Tainus Dav Lamed says that you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Why are you not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? It's one of my favorite halachos, not because I enjoy not learning, but because the basis of this halacha is Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamche Lev. Why are you not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? Because it gives a person too much simcha to learn on Tisha B'Av. That's the definition of what's Mesameach, a person's lathe. So when we have the opportunity and the zechus to engage in the Dvar Hashem, to engage in Talmud Torah, so that halacha is something that's worthwhile keeping in mind every once in a while, that this is the basis of simcha. This is something that we can't do when we're not allowed to experience simcha, learning Torah. So that's the story they tell about several gedolim. I first heard about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, but I've since heard it about many other gedolim, that right after Tisha B'Av, when the whole family sits down to have a seuda, they're like, where is Rabbi, fill in the blank, Rav so-and-so? So in the case that I heard, it was Rav Lichtenstein. Where is he? We can't find him. And then they find him in his study, and he's sitting there with a Gemara Bava Metzia or something like that. We're eating now. Why aren't you coming to eat? Well, there are two things you can't do on Tisha B'Av. There are more than two, but two of the major things you can't do on Tisha B'Av is you can't eat, and you can't learn Torah. Which one do you miss more? I think the statistics on YU Torah are that the most popular day on YU Torah, the most Torah is learned on Tisha B'Av more than any other day of the year, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, there's enough to do that you are allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. But the Gemara in Tainus tells us not to learn Tisha B'Av. So Shulchan Aruch, some Tavkuf Mandal, Tzif Gimel, Paskins, not even to be Maharher B'Divrei Torah. So the Mechaber doesn't argue on the ground because it's a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Meaning, wait a second, Mechaber, you're the one that said that you don't have to say Birchas HaTorah on Hira B'Divrei Torah. So why can't you be Mahar B'Divrei Torah Tisha B'Av? If Hira is a zero, if it's a nothing, and it doesn't require Birchas HaTorah, then why can't you do it on Tisha B'Av? But the answer again seems to be very clear, that Hira is not a nothing. It is an actual key of Talmud Torah. It's just not a Maisa of Talmud Torah, and therefore it doesn't get a bracha. The truth is, even if it weren't a kiyum of Talmud Torah, it might have been asur on Tisha B'Av anyway, because the Magen Avraham in Siv Kaneh explains that it isn't the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that's really asur on Tisha B'Av. It's the simchas limud haTorah, meaning we do Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. We learn Dvarim Harayim, we learn Hilchos Avelus, we learn the Agadah about the Chorban, we learn all sorts of sad things on Tisha B'Av that are absolutely a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So it seems that maybe Tisha B'Av is not a great raya anyway, because it could be that there's no isser of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. The isser on Tisha B'Av is to experience the Simchas HaTorah, and that's why we learn the Dvar Marayim that are undoubtedly a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But let's talk a little bit about the value of learning out loud, meaning now that we've discussed Hirhur and how, yes, it is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So is there any value when one is learning to learn out loud, to hear oneself learn? My good friend Rabbi Yoni Levin told me that one of the things he learned from our mashpia, from Rav Moshe Weinberger, is that when Rav Weinberger sits and learns, he puts earplugs in his ears. Why does he do that? So I would think not to be distracted, but it's more than that, because sometimes you're distracting to other people when you're being loud. But you can hear yourself much better, even if you're at a very low decibel level, you'll hear yourself even when you're just whispering, if you have earplugs in your ear. And he finds that it helps him remember his learning when he learns out loud. So is there any source for that? That dafka to learn out loud when one learns Torah. Obviously, the way we typically learn Torah is with a chavrusa or with a chabura, with a group of people. And there are many, many sources for the value of that. But what about when you're learning alone? Is there any value in learning out loud? So the Maral in the Siv HaTorah, Perek Dalid, has a lengthy passage where he discusses the great value of learning out loud. That he writes that ein ra'oi sheyia b'machshava b'vad rak b'divur. It's not appropriate that it should be only in thought. It should dafka be b'divur with actual enunciating of the words. V'zeh mipnei ki ha'adam hu chai midaber. He says, after all, what differentiates man from the rest of the animal kingdom? Right there, the Kuzari writes, and this is the yesod in Machshava, that there are different levels of creation in the world. Right, there's what's called domain, that which is absolutely lifeless, has nothing like a rock, something that has no life force to it. There's that a level above that, sameach, that which sprouts, that which grows like plant life. Then there's a balchai, like an animal, which is above a sameach. And then above that is humankind. But what do we call humankind? Midaber, that he who is able to speak, to enunciate words, to take thoughts and put them out into the world in the form of words. That's what differentiates us from the animal world more than anything else, is the fact that we're able to be midaber. And if that's the case, we have to use that koach hadibur, says the Maharal, in this most lofty of mitzvos, in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Not only to think, but in learning, which is great, but to actually be medaber. But there may be practical ramifications or practical benefits, I should say, as well. First of all, the Gemara in Erev in Daf Nun Gimel on the Bay is going over to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, tells us, Bruria, Ashkechelu Talmida Davik Hagaris Belechisha. Bruria, who's one of the heroic women of Jewish history, one of the most brilliant women in Jewish history, saw one of the Talmidim who was learning quietly. So, Bat Shebei, Amalei, Lokach, Kosov, Arucha, Bekol, Shmura, Imarucha, Baramache, Bar Mishalach, Mishtameris, Vimlame, Enim Mishtameris. She says, don't you know that if the Torah, as you're learning it, is recognizable in all 248 of your limbs, then it will be Mishtameris, then you'll be able to retain the Torah. But if it's not recognizable that you're learning in your entire body language, then you will not be able to retain the Torah, meaning it should be a transformative experience that takes over one's entire body. Why does that help? Because it's ma'orer kavana. It helps a person have a special level of kavana when one's entire, not just focus, but entire body is put into the Limud Torah. The Gemara tells us in Erevin Daf Nun Dalet, there are some of the major sugis of Talmud Torah are in Maseches Erevin. It's going to be coming up soon in Daf Yomi, I guess. Amar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Psach Pumech Kari Psach Pumech Tani. That you should open up your mouth when you learn psukim, open up your mouth when you learn mishnayis, speak it out so that you'll experience a living Torah. Shnemar ki chayim im lemotzeiam v'lechol b'sarum merape al tikri lemotzeiam el lemotzieiam b'peh. Not just for those who find it, but for those who bring it out with verbally expressing the Torah. So that is one advantage of learning out loud, is that it certainly aids in focus. It certainly helps a person have kavana in their learning. There's another advantage as well. The Peleyowitz writes that the sound of Torah studied out loud and articulately pierces Shemayim. It brings Simcha Takarosh Baruch Hu. Those who study silently or inarticulately forfeit a great opportunity to have this great schar of bringing joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Magen Meisharim mentions, the Magen Meisharim was the sefer written by the Beis Yosef about his chavrusa with the Malach. Beis Yosef not only was a great, great posek and a great, great mekubal, he also was zocha to have a chavrusa, a daily chavrusa with a Malach. So he wrote a sefer, Magen Meisharim, of the interactions with the Malach. So he writes that that the Magid told him that the audible sound of Torah learning creates all sorts of malachim, so something beyond our understanding, meaning it's ma'or kavan on a practical level. It relates to, we spoke about how a human being is defined by his koach hadibur, and then it does things up in Shemayim that we, certainly I don't understand, but something has some sort of impact. But then there's something, again, even much more basic. The Gemara in Erevin also. Tana Talmud Echad Ra'il Rabbi Elazar She'eshonu B'lachash L'achar Gimel Shanim Shachach Talmudim. Rabbi Elazar had a Talmud. He used to learn quietly. And after 3 years, he forgot his learning. I don't know. For me, it's usually 3 seconds. But I would think 3 years, the guy's doing pretty well. But that was considered tragic, that after 3 years, he forgot his learning. Why did he forget his learning? Because he was learning quietly. And when one learns out loud, it helps. It's a memory aid as well. It's worthwhile thinking about memory aids. What works as far as memory is concerned in the world of Talmud Torah? Very often there's a yetzer hara for yeshiva boys and their parents to just be happy with if someone is shomer mitzvos and they are kovei itim, then that's good enough. I'm just happy with it. But whatever happened to really striving for yediyas haTorah, to actually know Torah, to walk away with something? I'm involved in this program called Smicha Schaver, in addition to Smicha, which I'm involved with also, but Smicha Schaver that Rav Yada Goldberg started. And the whole idea of the program is, don't just learn, know something, come away with something, actually let have yediyas haTorah. And part of the way of doing that is by studying. There's a lot of good secular literature out there on how a person can retain information. Many Gedolei Yisrael figured a lot of these tricks out on their own, but many of us cannot figure these tricks out on their own. And it's worthwhile to utilize whatever we can in order to be able to remember our Torah and not just to go through the motions of learning Torah, which is very valuable. Meaning those moments you spend learning Torah, even if you don't remember them, are extremely valuable. But it's worthwhile to think about how to maximize our time learning Torah so we can remember it as well. And the Gemara tells us one of the ways to remember Torah is by saying it out loud. There's also great value in creating an atmosphere of Torah. When we're zocha, God willing, one day soon, to Ritzabate Medrash, and we're able to feel, I'm so jealous looking at the pictures online from Eretz Yisrael, the Bate Medrash of Keren B'Yavne and Shalavim and Gush and Hakotel and all the yeshivas that are opening up for Israelis. Yes, they have the dividers and the partitions, but there are people in a room together learning Torah. We yearn for that again. Why? That creates a sense of kol Torah. It creates like this positive social pressure to want to learn Torah together. And that's something that is of great value. Also, and finally, we'll close with this, Torah is a song. Kisvu lechem asashira azos, a song at the very basic level. Torah, the fact that it's a song means a lot of different things, but on the most basic level, a song is supposed to be something that's audible. If it's not, if you put on the best song ever written, a musical masterpiece, and then you turn the volume down to zero, it's not going to be very enjoyable. You're not going to hear anything. It's only when it's on a certain volume that the song is going to be uplifting. That the song is going to be something that's inspiring. So what did we do? We didn't cover all of the areas of Hirhur and Dibur B'Divrei Torah, but we discussed first is whether Hirhur in general is ever considered a Ma'aseh Mitzvah in the context of Kriya Shema, in the context of Dibur of Shabbos, and primarily in the context of Talmud Torah. How the Mechaber says one does not recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but it's still a key of mitzvah of Talmud Torah we suggested. And based on the fact that one can do a mitzvah and not necessarily recite a bracha if there's no concrete action to the mitzvah. And then we spoke a little bit about the many milos of learning out loud, whether it be because that's what makes us human, the ability to speak, whether it be because of the things that it does with malachim up in Shemayim, whether we don't understand, whether it be just practically being ma'orer our own kavana, or is serving as a memory aid, the idea of or creating a positive Torah environment, the idea of kol Torah, of learning out loud, is certainly something that contributes greatly to the sense of hashira hazos, the great shira of Talmud Torah. Just want to thank all of you for coming over the last 3 weeks. It looks like the crowd got bigger every week, so I want to thank you all for coming. over the last 3 weeks to come and learn Torah together. It's been very wonderful to learn Torah about Torah, and great to see all of you, whoever I'm able to see on the screen, so many friends and family, and everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you.